Welcome back to another episode of Palisade Radio. I'm your host, Karema Mutlu. And on today's show, we welcome back John Newell, who is the Portfolio Manager at Fieldhouse Capital Management. Welcome back to the show, John.
Thank you for having me, Karim. It's a pleasure to be back, and I look forward to this interview.
Yeah, so I wanted to get you back onto the show to get an update on perhaps the recent moves in gold and your thoughts regarding the junior miners. And as we speak today, John, at the end of January, let's talk about the gold price and perhaps share with us some of the targets from a technical perspective that you've had and how some of those targets have been met. And also, what's your highest target for gold that you've publicly announced? It'd be interesting to talk about that.
Okay, well, let's just go back 6 years and look at the move that after we had the parabola move to 1900 and change, we had sort of a half year, 1 year sideways correction, and then the gold price broke down from 1500 down to say 1200, or 1200 would be the mean price. And for 6 years, it went sideways, up and down, in a range of about 10%, and built that big base, and with the resistance at 1370, and ultimately, as we talked about and many of your other guests talked about, it broke that 1370 area, and it established targets of 1275, 1370, and then around 1490. And we've broken and exceeded all those targets, and so new targets have emerged, the next target being 1690. And if you look at the way gold broke down back in 2013 and had that waterfall drop, It seems to me like for every action, there's a reaction. It can go to 1700 very quickly. And of course, then you have that 1900 area as resistance. My highest target off of this move that I've published is 2465. So I'm pretty bullish on the price of gold.
Okay, well, lack of capital within the junior mining sector over the last 6-7 years, you mentioned, and the generalist investor looking for better returns in other markets such as crypto or cannabis has perhaps led to the junior mining sector being pushed into immense downward pressure and apathy from investors. So has this bear cycle for the junior miners been the worst you've seen in your career? And surely now things have started to turn for the better?
Yeah, well, I have to kind of characterize it a little differently, because in 2016, the model portfolio that I built over 4 years is up 170%. Out of 40 stocks, 10 have been taken over. And last year, in 2019, the LinkedIn portfolio that I put on LinkedIn was up 71%. So when Ross Beaty was talking about, you know, the GDX and the GDXJ as being, quote, dumb money, I take a real rifleman's approach to the market and really am looking for very, very specific stocks and themes in the market, like we talked about the last time. So this market, while in a general sense, the XAU in, you know, 4 years ago started at 100, it's 105 today or 103 today. If you look at that index, it's vastly underperformed anything as a whole. But in that 40 years, there have been tremendous finds, tremendous gold companies taking rock that was worth nothing and building it into, you know, $300 an ounce in the ground, so up from, you know, whatever, $4 to $300 or whatever. So there have been tremendous opportunities throughout this bear market, but I can't dispute the fact that crypto and cannabis have taken money out of the sector. I'm really concentrating solely on this sector, and I'm looking for companies that have the ability to outperform crypto and cannabis, and many of them have done that. So in terms of a bear market, I anytime I'm losing money, it's a bear market. So, and I can usually find a way to lose money in bull markets too. So I'm not exactly perfect.
Okay, very good. Well, in one of our previous interviews, we talked about what you like to call renovation stories within the junior mining space. And one such example of that was recently been Equinox buying Leo Gold. So within your work today, John, are there any new themes that you're currently seeing within the space?
Yeah, so when I screen 2,500 companies or 2,000 companies and all the indexes, and I'm looking for themes like what we called the last time renovation stories, and they were separate, Equinox and Leah, and it so happened that they've merged. And so the theme that I see in the screening are basically expanding assets or takeovers or property acquisitions or mergers of like companies. You saw it with Continental Gold, Equinox and Leah. And then there's K92. There's a whole host of them. Pure Gold having exploration success and then moving their assets. Marathon would be another one, in Integra. Then there's earning successes, the Dundees and the B2 Golds, and even the big cap stocks are emerging, Barrick and Newmont raising their dividend, increasing earnings with higher precious metals prices. So earning successes. And then there's exploration success. And so I'm calling the theme today the three E's: expanding assets, earnings, and exploration success. And we see exploration success with AMAX and Azimat. Great Bear continues to move the ball down the field. Mineral Mountain in South Dakota looks very interesting, and that's been, you know, a dogfight for 7 or 8 years, and those guys have just continued to put one foot in front of the other and struggle and then have success. And I'm missing other ones. I'm just saying that those are just some examples of the three E's and some of the companies in those. Remember, mines are a depleting asset like oil and gas wells. So it used to be back, home state used to pay out a large dividend to pay out its shareholders for the fact that mine was depleting. And now companies have used money to take over other companies. And I don't know what Newmont's intentions are, but it looks like they want to increase their dividend, you know, now plus 2%, and other companies following. It makes some of these big name companies pretty good too. There have been some really interesting companies. We mentioned in a previous interview, Trilogy, which is really essentially a copper play, and Bluestone, a one asset company. Some of them have done really, really well.
Excellent. That sounds very exciting at the moment. And I guess once hedge fund managers and mainstream investors do return to this space, there'll be even more excitement. So it'd be interesting to know, John, how do you stay disciplined and try to remember that this bull market will eventually end and that you will need to take profits from any juniors? How do you know you'll be able to push the sell button? Can you talk about that?
That's really it's a good question. It's a hard question, too. You know, if you look at the big guys in this industry, like Ross Beaty and the Lundins, they're not buying these companies to trade them. They're buying them to add value to shareholders and potentially sell them to other companies. So if Ross Beaty is selling Equinox to a big company and he's built it into a million-ounce producer, that might be a sign it's time to sell. But I'm looking for companies that are going to try to, you know, increase earnings ultimately, increase dividends, and make money and compete with all the other companies in the space. So it's a very individual decision about when to trade out companies, because everyone has there are traders. Everyone has sort of a different outlook. I'm not a trader, I'm an investor. If you look at Lundin Gold, I put out three targets. They've all been met. My highest target is $15 for it. And I published that, you know, a few years ago. So everyone's sort of different. And yeah, I guess we could have trailing stops and all kinds of buying puts to protect gains. And there's all kinds of portfolio management techniques to protect gains. So I kind of view it as individual companies. I'm also I think we could be on the precipice of a real big move, because if I look at the indexes, I use the Dow Jones Gold Index, which a lot of people don't talk about, XAU, Huey, some of the ETFs are followed, but it has sort of a different makeup and includes some juniors. And when it ran up to 2016, the big resistance in this market for the gold shares is like 1370 was to gold as 115 or 265 is to the Huey, 115 to the XAU. And if you look at the Dow Jones Gold Index, it's already exceeded its 2016 high. So I'm looking for these indexes, and they're right at what I call the point of inflection or the point of recognition, where we're very, very close to what could be a really terrific move. We're just dancing around resistance on the shares, and we could catch up in a hurry, because you may have seen the chart where the shares are lagging the gold price by a pretty astronomical amount. So one of them's not telling the truth, and I just have to favor that the gold shares are undervalued relative to where the gold price is.
It does feel that a lot of investors feel the same way, and perhaps are surprised that the junior miners haven't caught up with gold and silver yet.
As a group, you're that's true. Individually, if you look at Azimat, there's nobody. You have to have the patience of Job to hold on to a great geological team, a great geological model, up, down, 25 cents to 5 cents or whatever it was. I don't know. I forget offhand. And then you see it move to $1.50. So there's no one that's picking 25 cents the day before the big find or the big drill hole. I mean, there might be one or two, but I don't think there are very many.
Yeah, some great points there. Okay, as we begin to wrap up, John, be interesting if you gave us a brief overview on your latest role and what you're trying to build within the Yukon. Can you talk a little bit about what you're doing up there?
Sure. A gentleman retired from Lucky Strike Resources, a company with some assets in the Yukon, some, you know, pretty strategic assets in the Yukon. And so the mission statement for Lucky Strike is to find, fund, discover, and develop a multi-million ounce deposit in North America and monetize those assets in 6 years or less, and to keep the shares and keeping the shares to a minimum. And that is what we want to do, really focus on creating wealth for shareholders through discovery. And in risk-adverse, world-class mining jurisdictions, of which we're going to concentrate on what we know, Canada. And exploration really is the lifeblood of the mining business. And so, you know, I'm trying to put together in different places. I want to try to find three world-class assets and build geological teams, very experienced teams, in world-class geological terrains that are underexplored for whatever reason. You know, sometimes, you know, companies run out of money or guys just lose the resolve, or there's just so many reasons why previous companies, Great Bear being a great example of big companies in there, junior companies being in there, and then somebody, you know, takes the ball and there's an opening and they run down the field. So we are, you know, right now assessing some opportunities, and we want to deliver strong potential for a significant gold discovery in Canada. And that's kind of what we're working on right now.
Okay, well, many thanks for your time today, John. It's been great having you on the show again.
All right, take care.
Think you understand the junior mining sector, and you think that the participants in the mining sector, junior mining sector, are good people and kind people? Hit the bid.
How violent that term could be, it actually could be quite violent. It could be a rip your face off uranium rally.
And the world is always going to need raw material. It's going to need copper and gold and nickel and so forth.
Totally destabilized. Hey, troll, did you hear what's going on in Yemen?